to our teaching. We're in Romans, and we are in chapter 9. And we left off, we've read verse 7, and so we're going to get ready to read verse 8, unless...
I want to go back here where Paul was talking about his love for his nation.
Good.
This is the thing that disturbs me today, is people don't have an appreciation for their nation. And I was telling Heather, as a combat veteran, I love the nation. I love the United States. I hate the perversity. I hate all the ungodliness. But I love it enough, I don't want to see it destroyed. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take us into a one-world government. They're trying to disarm America and do all these things. I love the nation. And I can tell you the flag still give me cold chills because it means something to me. And you think about the guys out there that has a cause. You understand? They lay their lives on the line. And you got these college kids that are as stupid as they come out here marching. They don't have enough common sense to get in out of the rain and don't understand that the reason they can do that is because many people died to give them the freedom. You understand? And so I can appreciate loving the nation. Paul loved the nation of Israel. I love the United States of America. I don't like to sin. I'd like to see them get saved. You understand? I'm not wanting to grab the machine gun and go up there and wipe out Washington. I'd like to see them get saved. I'd like to see us get leaders that'll go to God, not away from God. You follow me? But more than that, I love the kingdom of God.
Mm.
You understand? And this is what God is wanting to get us into, the revelation. It's the spiritual side. And see, this was where Paul was trying to take his people, the nation of Israel. He was trying to take them out of a fleshly realm into the spirit. They're still living under the law, regulated, governed by rules. And he's saying, believe. Believe. Believe in the one who's already fulfilled the rules, who's already fulfilled the law. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where his heart is. He can see what's going on, and it always costs the nation when you go away from God's will.
Mm.
I don't care what the nation is. It's going to cost you big time when you go away from the will of God. And so Paul's heart's really crying out. I pray for this nation every day because it means something to me. And people bash it, and my thoughts, if you don't like it, why don't you go to the nation that you want it to be like? If you like communism, then go to a communist nation. And then tell me how much you like communism.
Mm-hmm.
Because you won't be doing there what you do here. Because they will either put you in jail or kill you. You understand? And so I want people to get born again. Get a revelation of the kingdom of God and stop walking in the flesh and live by the Spirit and have no other gods before you. One true God. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
All right.
Very good. Verse 8. That is, so he had just said, because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. And we've talked about this a little bit already. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the promise of God according to according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated.
Now, remember, it was like last session we talked about the difference between predestination and foreknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
God in his foreknowledge knows you. Mm-hmm. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you're going to do. And so God is making his selection off of knowledge, not off of predestiny. He didn't predestine Esau to sell out. You understand? But what God is doing is making his choices off of his foreknowledge. So he can tell Rebekah, the younger, the older is going to serve the younger. Because Jacob's the one I've chosen to bring my seed through, is the essence of it. You with me? So don't lose sight of the foreknowledge when you read all these things. Or you say, well, God's not righteous, or God plays favorites and all this. God does not play favorites. He's no respecter of persons. But God does know your heart. You understand? Okay, we'll keep reading there.
Yes, sir. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens.
All right, now let's look at all this. I wanted to get all those scriptures together. Number one, God is not unrighteous.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, God is smarter than you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And see, we'll say that, but we don't believe it because we try to be his counselor and tell God what he should do or what he shouldn't do.
Mm.
And Isaiah 55 says, his ways are higher than ours and his thoughts are higher than ours. In other words, what he's saying is you're not in God's league, so don't try to counsel him. Just listen to him. God knows what he's doing, okay? He knew Pharaoh. He knew his stubbornness, his obstinance, his hard heart. So, all right, I raised you up. Now, you understand that God told Abraham that his seed was going into Egypt. They were going to be in bondage. 400 years they were going to be in bondage. And God was going to judge the nation that had them in bondage and bring them out wealthy. And that's all my paraphrase, okay? And so, you know how the story unfolds. That's exactly what happened. 430 years later, Moses is sent to lead them out of Egypt to go into a promised land. But how many of you know that if you have a nation within your nation that is providing tremendous income for you and all that slave labor, you're not just going to turn them loose.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way Pharaoh was. And he, you know, opportunity after opportunity. But God was using his hard heart to judge Egypt. Because God told Abraham that he would judge Egypt, the nation that held him in bondage. And so those 10 plagues that came on Egypt destroyed the land that had taken advantage of all the slavery and all that was going on, and the slaves ended up with the wealth. It said, actually, if you read it, it says they spoiled the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They went out with great wealth, okay? And so God knew the heart of this man, and so God raised him up for the whole purpose of judging Israel with his leadership. Do you see that? And at the same time, he's showing mercy to the nation of Israel that's been in slavery those 400 years. You with me? So God can show mercy to whom he wants to show mercy. Now, you think about the love of God. We say, the Bible says God is love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And someone was trying to back me in the corner on God is love. Well, if God's love, then why would he tell the Israelites to go in and drive out those seven nations and all that? I said, God loves me so much he'll kill you if you mess with me. Now, you think about this. We only see one side of love. God loved the nation of Israel so much that he would fight against the enemy that came against them. You understand? All these people that are opposing Christians, all the Christians that have been persecuted, murdered, and all this, are going to stand before the judge. And every one of them will be judged. Love will judge you.
Mm.
You understand? But it will be with absolute fairness.
Mm.
You know, you've got to understand the two sides of love. The Lord says, whom the Lord loves, he corrects.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you love your children? Then you will correct your children.
Mm-hmm.
My parents don't like me to counsel them, because when they come in and tell me they can't handle little Johnny, I'm going to say that's not true. You're bigger than little Johnny. The truth is, you don't want to. Well, I want him to love me. I said, no, you want him to be your buddy. God called you to be the parent. You can't be the parent and the buddy. You've got to stand your ground. You understand? I love you enough that I'm going to tell you the truth. I love you enough I'm going to wear your backside out if you step out of line. You can ask my kids, they'll tell you, okay?
Yep.
But it's because I love them. I would make decisions for them so they wouldn't have to. And say, tell them your daddy said so. You with me? And so there's a side of love that will stand up. I mean, you start to mess with one of my kids, I'm going to get between you and them. You follow me? That's who God is. God is love. But God is also just, and love will protect you. And protecting you may mean executing judgment on someone else. You follow that? So don't read into something that's all this mushy-gushy stuff. Well, just whatever. I'll be very vague with this, but I'll just put it this way. Someone was just telling me, they were just talking to a person that was college educated. Okay? And this person was saying that nobody should be in prison because we're all one. We're all the same family. Well, we all came from Adam. So there's an element of truth. An element, okay? But if that person committed the crime, then we committed the crime too. No, that's stupid. That's just absolute stupidity there. Somebody, some philosopher has goofed up somebody's mind. And so if you're going to punish one, you have to punish all. How stupid can you be? You understand? But that's what's running rampant all over this nation right now. People are not being told the truth. They're not being taught the Word of God. The Word of God tells the parents to correct their children. As a matter of fact, you read the Proverbs, and anybody that comes to me for counseling, I'm going to take them to the Proverbs, and I'm going to tell them God has one method, and it's not Dr. Spock's. He says, if you love your child, you will beat him betimes, early, In other words, you start when they're down here. Don't tell me you can't handle a two-year-old. You apply enough pressure on the backside, it affects the brain. You understand? When you make the consequence worse than the crime, that stops the crime. The reason we have overcrowded prisons is because there's really no consequence. Slap your hand, let you go, put you on probation four or five times in a row. What's the probation for? You're just wasting taxpayers' money, all you're doing. No, I guarantee you, if you'll follow the Word of God, you'll get good results always. It's not that God hates you. It's not that we hate you. I didn't hate my children, but I corrected my children. God has corrected me many times, not because He hated me, because He loves me. Now listen to this. You read this in Hebrews. If you're not chastened or corrected, you're illegitimate.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a legal son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And so love will reel me in if I start out here. Okay, I want you to understand that part about the love of God. And yet, we know that there is a mercy of God, and He ministers judgment in mercy. You think about with Pharaoh. He was told every time, let my people go. Let my people go. I'll let them go. Or I'll try to negotiate it.
Mm.
You don't negotiate with God. He's a non-negotiator. You know what I'm saying? I'm a son of God, so I'm a non-negotiator. It's God's way. It's God's way. It's not what I think. It's not what you think. It's what God thinks, what God says, what God's recorded. And that's the way that we have to go. And Paul's just trying to give them some insight in here. God's foreknowledge could make these decisions because He knew ahead of time what was going to happen before it happened. But now let's get into the other part of this.
Okay. Verse 19. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? Or who has resisted his will?
Now I want you to think about the statement. Who are you to find fault with God?
Mm.
Did you make him or did he make you?
Yeah.
And so does the created tell the Creator, you messed up. That's why I tell people, you know, whatever you look like, whatever your body is, what your height, your what, listen, God made you. Why you want to tamper with it? I mean, obviously, use wisdom. But a facelift? Give me a break. Women flat-chested want to have a large chest. Women with a large chest want to get a reduction. Stupid. God made you. God made you. Now take the equipment God gave you and then glorify God with what you have and quit trying to be like somebody else. You with me? Okay. Don't try to second-guess God. I'm not in a position to question God. I can ask God questions. I'm going to show you the difference here. Zechariah questioned the angel when he told him about the birth of John the Baptist. How do I know you're telling me the truth? That's my paraphrase. But that's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Give me a sign. I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to shut your mouth. That'd be a good sign for God to give a lot of people just to shut their mouth and let the Word of God come to pass.
Amen.
On the other hand, the same angel comes to Mary and says, to a virgin of all things, you're going to become pregnant. Yeah, right. You know what she said? How? How can this be? And he says, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you and overshadow you, and there's going to be a conception to take place in the end. Okay. Do you think she understood all that? She believed it. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. She didn't say, give me a sign. Prove it. You with me? When God speaks to you, just believe God. Don't ask God for signs. Don't start second-guessing God. And don't start putting out fleeces. Mm-hmm. You get fleeced with fleeces. That's an Old Testament deal. It's not a New Testament deal. You understand, Gideon didn't have the Holy Spirit living in him. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. Follow the lead of the Spirit of God and believe God. Trust God and don't question God. Why did you do this or why did you do that? God has never asked me for advice because He knows I'm too dumb to give it. Wisdom is with God. You understand? And we need to recognize that and just resign to the fact my Father knows best. He has not called me to understand everything. He's called me to believe Him. He's called me to trust Him. Okay? And so we have to get to that point. And Paul's telling them here, who are you to second guess God? Does the created have a right to question the Creator? No. But you can ask Him questions if you do it with the right attitude, you understand? And God's given me many answers to things I didn't understand. But I will tell you this, there's more I don't understand than I do when it comes to the Scriptures. But thank God I know a little bit more. I'm not as dumb as I used to be. And hopefully next year I'll know more than I know now. Okay.
Verse 20, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? From the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor?
Okay. And doesn't the potter decide what the vessel will be before he ever starts?
Mm-hmm.
So there's vessels of honor in a house. There's vessels that have less honor in a house. You understand? But here again, I go with the foreknowledge of God. It's not that God's showing favorites. Well, I'm just going to really pour on Renee and I'll just hold back with Kenzie here. You know, I'll just show favorites here. No, that's not the way it works. He knows what He put in us. You understand we're born with abilities? Now, I understand this, they have to be developed. Just like you're born with all your muscles, but you develop them if you want to get stronger. You understand? And so we come to earth equipped to do the purpose for which God ordained us. The problem is too many people are trying to decide their own purpose and not find out God's purpose. And so they're trying to manipulate a lot of things. And the way you find out the purpose of God is get before the one who created you and just learn Him and you'll start learning things about you because you're made in His image after His likeness. That means every one of us is not, you know, well, this one's like me, this one's not. Now, I mean, you can have a perverted heart not be like God. You understand? But every one of us have creative ability. Every one of us can bring things to pass with words. We do it every day. And we don't even recognize it. But I do not have the right or privilege to bring God into question for His decisions. Because I am the created, not the Creator. So I have to trust the Creator. Okay?
Verse 22. What is God wanting to show His wrath and to make His power known? endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction.
Now here again, keep this in context. This is referring back to Pharaoh.
Mm.
Was God patient with Pharaoh? What would you do? He said, I'm not letting the people go. We'll wipe you out, Jack. You'll find out. No, that's not what he did. He was long-suffering. 10 times. But what's happening? Things are being destroyed. Now, here's something that people don't see. In that process of time, that long-suffering, when Israel came out of Egypt, it was a mixed multitude. Many Egyptians came out with the Israelites because they saw the power of God being displayed. They had a tremendous respect for Moses, the man of God, because of what they were seeing. And so God knew what he was doing, and it was actually bringing about a lot of good that people overlook. Yes, it judged the nation, but many people in that nation were saved and became followers of God and left their idols. You have to look at the whole picture.
And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory.
You think God wasn't revealing his glory? I mean, Moses announced ahead of time what was going to happen before it took place. And then you think about the powerful display of God. So locusts can cover a land, and then in one day they're gone. Not a trace of them left. That's miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
With flies or any of the rest of the things, that's miraculous. And just to show you the mercy of God, even in the judgment, when he sent forth the lightning, you know, the storm, the hailstorm, he warned them, don't put your servants out in the field. Don't put your animals out in the field. If you don't put your animals and your servants in your shelter, they're going to get killed. Some of them listened to God and some of them didn't. And those that didn't paid a price. But God's displaying the power of God. You want to see the glory of God? To me, the word glory is just a manifested presence of God. That's what the glory. God was manifesting himself in these various ways, a display of the power of God. And it had great impact on many people's lives. Israelites as well as the mixed multitude, as it says. Okay?
Even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles.
Now think about that. He's not just the God of the Jews. Now, the Jews thought they had a corner on God.
Mm-hmm.
And see, Jews, the Jewish race really struggles with pride even today. And I'm talking about a race, okay? I'm not singling out an individual. We're God's chosen. God favors us. So that's the mindset, okay? And so Paul's writing to them, and he's saying, listen, you don't have a corner on God. God has revealed himself to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and the Gentiles can be born again just like you can. And you will have to be born again just like they are, by faith. And you can forget the law of Moses. Now you've got to put your attention on Jesus. He fulfilled the law of Moses. Now you've got to believe that, okay?
As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not my beloved.
Now here we're talking about the book of Hosea. If you read the book of Hosea, you talk about interesting and unorthodox. God tells a prophet to go marry a prostitute. Whoa. You better hear from God. And then she's not faithful. But God says, I'm going to use this to show my relationship with Israel. Israel was a prostitute. They was always going after other gods, worshiping Baal, worshiping Moloch, all these other gods. And God would take them back. God would take them back. God would take them back. He would have Hosea take them back. Take her back. Do you see this? And so God is demonstrating his love for his people. He said, you know, I loved her when she didn't love me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her. When she's doing everything wrong, I still loved her. You understand? That's why you and I are born again today, because God loved us while we were yet sinners. Ungodly people. When God loved us into his kingdom and extended his mercy to us. Amen.
And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called the sons of the living God.
See, there for years, the Gentiles weren't called God's people.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Paul in his writing says, we were alienated from God, lost, without hope. But through Jesus Christ, it crosses all barriers of race. You understand? And there is no exclusions. Anyone who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. He's opened a wide door for us. He doesn't ask us, well, what about your past? What God did you used to serve and all? He's not asking that. Believe in me. Just believe in me. I've personally seen many people come out of from the Hindu belief, various beliefs, into the to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and seen God work. I mean, they accept Jesus, and God worked mighty miracles right there. They accept him, they get healed, or they get delivered from demon possession. Nobody lays a hand on them. The power of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
God reaching out. God loves those people. You understand? The reason they worship in all these thousands upon thousands of gods is because that's how they were taught. I was standing on the side of a road in I'll just say India. I'll put it that way, okay? And it was like a open-air temple. And I stood there and I watched the worship, the agony.
Mm-hmm.
They torture themselves and all this. And I stood there and just thinking, God, how could anybody do something like that? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, if you would have been brought up in this culture, you would be doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're here. Tell them the truth. Give them the gospel. Well, that changed my whole attitude. Because before, you think, well, they're stupid. You start putting hooks in you and all that. You got to be dumb to do stuff like that. No, deceived.
Mm.
Deceived. They are worshiping. They're just not worshiping the true God. And God wants them to know the truth to where they start worshiping the truth, God. And say, look, I took the torture. You don't have to. All you have to do is believe in me. And I'm telling you, man, the mercy and grace of God is absolutely incredible. And you can see it in their countenance. You can see their countenance change when they accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's reaching out. You understand? The gospel of the kingdom is going to go to all the nations on the earth before Jesus comes. He's already declared it in his word. You and I have a golden opportunity to be part of this, and this is part of the earth where you live, and just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, what Jesus has done for you. You don't tell them how bad they are and you're going to hell if you don't get saved. You just tell them how good Jesus is and how much Jesus loves them. Love them into the kingdom. You with me? Okay.
Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved.
Now, here again, let's go back to the context. His heart is crying out for national Israel. But he says, even though their numbers like the sand of the sea, it's just the remnant. It's a straight gate. It's a narrow way, if you find it. You with me? He could say the same thing about the United States of America. 350-60 million people, but it's a remnant that'll be saved. The majority has chosen the broad way, not the narrow way. The narrow way means you got to strip your baggage off of you and follow the ways of God. You follow me? And so Isaiah's prophesied it's a remnant. God has not abandoned Israel, but God's not going to bless sin. You understand? It's the remnant that's saved. I'm telling you, in the United States of America right now, God's calling out. Separate yourselves. Those who are going to follow the flesh versus those who are going to follow the Spirit of God. Because those who follow the Spirit of God is going to be the remnant. Amen. Our time's up, and so we're going to have to stop here. And you can mark this, and we'll pick back up there in the next session. All right, I hope you guys are all right. Sometimes I will speak extremely plain to you because I don't want you to, no way that you can misunderstand what I'm saying. So I'm going to talk to you in a way you can understand me, okay? All right. I'm not trying to be rude and crude. I'm just rude and crude. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. And those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great week. And get prepared for the snow Sunday.